sustainer of our lives. Amen. Please be seated. I had one of the youth ask me this week, she asked, why do we call it Good Friday? It doesn't seem good. Which I think is a great question. And it's a curious thing that we do today, where we gather together and we retell this story of brutality, violence, of suffering, of ultimately defeat. And it's astonishing that those early Christian communities even told that story about their Lord, about their teacher, about their king, that they would come together and talk about how he was shamed, how he was brutalized, how he was ultimately defeated. We're psychologically, we're not geared to tolerate defeat and shame and pain in this way. I mean, psychologically, we defend against these things. Psychologically, we're more inclined to forget painful memories and remember positive memories. Psychologically, we're inclined to gloss over experiences of shame or experiences of defeat and instead good things. Psychologically, even our own pain, we defend against the experience of having to feel pain and or then remember pain over and over again. And so it's curious that on this day, once a year, as followers of Jesus, we gather together, and that's what we do. We willingly open ourselves up to listening to this story. We willingly open ourselves up to having it impact us and having ourselves feel the sense of pain and injustice and defeat. It's a phenomenal thing that we do. I think one of the reasons why we do it is because it so resonates with the realities of our world, the realities of the life that we live. I mean, here in North America, in a community like the Tri-Cities, we have relatively comfortable lives. We have relatively stable lives politically. We don't suffer the effects of violence and injustice and calamity in the ways that people do in other parts of the world. Think about the Rohingya. Think about the Syrians. Think about people in East Africa whose lives are changing as a result of climate change. Like we have been protected from those sorts of things. We don't experience injustice in the ways that there are communities that do in, you know, like Colton Bushi's community in Saskatchewan or Stefan Clark's community in Sacramento, where there are real experiences of daily injustice that people confront. We have been isolated from those kinds of experiences. And yet we're not still immune from pain. Social isolation, anxiety, depression, these are things we all suffer with. We suffer with broken relationships, the pain of being alienated from one another. We suffer with shame, and we also suffer with a profound sense of defeat. So it's actually, as part of our faith and part of our spirituality, it's actually very important that we've created space within our faith to hold the pain of the world, to hold the pain of our lives, the pain that we experience, and to be followers of Jesus as he leads us towards this cross. And Jesus said, if anyone want to be my followers, they must take up their cross and follow me. Right? I've wrestled with that my whole life. What does that mean? And on a day like today, I realize it means that I need to be able to be honest and open to the pain of my life. the shame in my life, my own sense of defeat, but also the pain and shame and suffering of the world. Because if the heart of God is to somehow take those things and heal them, take those things and restore them and bring life and bring transformation and bring healing, you don't get there unless you enter into the darkness and blackness of things as they can be. And so as people of God, what we do today, as people of God, we step into our fear, we step into our sense of not wanting to confront these things, and we look at them. We acknowledge that there is brutality, there is injustice, there's deep suffering in our world and in our lives. And our faith is big enough to hold that.